Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio. And with me today is Pete Lusick. And Pete, as a bass fisherman, everybody hears about all the $500,000 winners. David Dudley just won $500,000 in one tournament. And guys that went up to $1 million fishing. But I don't think anybody really knows what it takes as far as the economics to keep in fishing and to really do a good job and being able to have a living made at it. And I know you're right now going through the school of hard knocks, no question about it.
Yeah, it's a challenge, to make a living in this business. It's a big challenge to get started in this business, and that's what a lot of people don't see is really the investment that you have to make, the cost it takes for entry fees and traveling expenses, and all the other incidentals with lures and breakdowns and maintenance and all these things that come along with it, you see the high dollar winnings and you see all that stuff, and that is great, and sport is definitely growing, but it's still a challenge to make it in this business. And I bet you there's very few guys in this sport that are really making a consistently good living in it.
Well, you got to kind of look at it a couple ways. One is if you got great sponsorship and you got people paying you money just to go out there and fish, that's one way of making money. The other way that a lot of anglers try to do it is they try to do it with their winnings. And I would think the first way would be the way that would work better for consistency anyway.
The sponsorship is key, because that's stable income, and that's the stuff that you're going to be able to pay your mortgage with, and pay your truck payments, and do whatever it is that you have to do as a person. Winnings are kind of windfalls, but the problem is it's kind of a catch-22 because you're not going to get the sponsorship unless you have the winnings, and so you've got to get started at some point and go out there and win some tournaments and have some strong finishes before the sponsors will even look at you. But then once the sponsors start looking at you, you have to really be strong with your promotional skills to be able to keep them, to be able to be desirable to that company, to be able to benefit that company. And that's real key to, once you obtain sponsors, you need to keep them, because that's what's going to keep you alive in this business is your sponsorship.
Well, you talk about that, and a lot of guys that have done very, very well, they seem like when they go and they win the Bassmaster Classic or they go and they win the FLW Championship, all of a sudden there's kind of a lag sometimes because they're spending more time on promotion than maybe they are getting the preparations ready to go out and bass fish, it seems.
Definitely. Once you win a major tournament like that, there's high demands on you. So it definitely takes away from your fishing. I'll tell you what, promoting your sponsors takes away from fishing. It would be great, and I talk about this a lot. I would love to just be able to concentrate on fishing and fishing only, because I know that obviously my fishing would benefit from it. But because I have a lot of sponsors that I have to pay attention to, and I do a lot of promotional work, it definitely takes away from your fishing ability. And, like when you do win, when you have these big wins and these big tournaments where you might win a classic, you might win a tournament during the season, it could be a very long time before you see that happen to you again. So, people look at, hey, Dudley just won $500,000 or, Iaconelli just won the classic. Well, it could be a year, 2 years, 3 years before they'll find themselves back in the winner's circle again. And that's very consistent. And the reason for that is because, number one, we don't have that many tournaments. Like, say, the golfers or the tennis players, they have tournaments that they can enter, professional-level tournaments all over the country, all over the world, that they can get into just about every single week. Fishermen don't. We have maximum number of tournaments you can fish in a season is probably 20. And that's really pushing it as far as time away from home and trying to be able to practice for each event and put forward a good effort. So that's the most times you'll get a chance to win. So point here being, we just don't have as many swings at the plate. So it's still very challenging to make a living on winning.
Well, and Pete, the other thing is when you get into the promotion side of it, what is expected? I mean, you fly all over the country, you're having to go to events, whether it's a boat show or a tackle store or even a marine dealer. And it really takes a lot of time away from that concentration and that preparation, I would think.
It definitely does. It definitely takes away because it's a full-time job. There's basically two jobs. You're a promoter, one, and you're a fisherman, two. Not necessarily in that order. And, they're two almost different types of jobs. Now, they do overlap somewhat. In other words, you're promoting products while you're in the tournaments and while you're on television. And if you win the tournament on a certain product, you're going to promote that and get as much exposure for Ranger boats and Evinrude outboards when you can. But, you know, it's after that, it's a whole separate thing where, you know, you're out working with the outdoor writers. You know, you're doing interviews like we're doing right now. You're out on the water with an outdoor writer giving inside information on how you fish for smallmouth in 100 feet of water, or you know, why your outboard runs faster than the other. You know, so that's all time away from actually concentrating on fishing. That, in addition to the attack on the boat shows, which go through the entire spring. So basically every single free weekend that you have in the springtime is locked up either on an open house or some type of boat show.
You know, and you were able to kind of cut new ground last year by getting on the NASCAR team, a little overlap there.
An overlap with, as far as cross promotions with NASCAR, is that what you're talking
Absolutely
about?
Absolutely right, yeah. That you got to be able to see maybe that there is a little bit of cross promotion between NASCAR, golf, you know, fishing, hunting, some of those kind of things. There's so much overlay there that it looks like maybe at times, you know, that could be a good thing for you.
Well, it's a great thing from a promotional perspective. Being part of the Ranger NASCAR team has been, you know, fantastic. Of course, NASCAR has the biggest fan base out there. And we're finding out that, hey, you know, that NASCAR fan likes the bass fish. And, you know, so it's a great opportunity to cross over, to expose our sport to some of the NASCAR people and get NASCAR involved with some of the bass fishing fans. And it's been a great avenue promotionally for all my sponsors included in that whole package, which has been fantastic. But again, you know, here is a situation that has very little to do with actually getting out there and competing in professional tournaments.
Well,
you can really see that there's really two completely different jobs in order to be a very successful professional fisherman, because you'll find the guys at the top of the field, the guys that earn the most money, are the guys that are out there consistently having top 10 finishes and are excellent promoters and do a lot of work for their sponsors.
Well, you've had absolutely great success. You've been, you know, have done very, very well across the BASS and FLW trails and have been out there fishing for a long time. But last year you had one of those years that you kind of maybe didn't want to have, and now you're trying to regroup a little bit, right?
Well, yeah, and here again, you know, peaks and valleys. If you look at every competitive sport, you're going to have guys that you're going to see the peaks and valleys of competition. You're going to see the professional pitchers that go into a slump, and they've got to dig out of it. Well, I had my slump. Last year I had the worst season really I've ever had, but because of my promotional abilities and because of my relationships that I have with the outdoor writers and the sponsors and all the additional work that I do, I was able to weather the storm financially, you know, to kind of get through last year. But here is where you're going to be tested. And you know, hey, you know, face facts, we're in a business that it's a performance-based business, and that's how you're judged. And I had a bad year last year. I can't afford to have another bad year this year. Two bad years in a row is going to kind of get you wiped off the radar with respect to the fans and of course, with respect to the sponsors. So, you know, this is, I had my slump last year. It was a bad season. This is a big opportunity for me to just step up and perform like I have in previous years.
Well, you know, you're a great angler, and one of the things you have to do is when you get out there, I know the concentration, you know, the getting the right product, you got the great boat, the great outboard out there. You know, that's got to be a big plus to you. You know, you got that great equipment. But, you know, when you're working with a sponsor, say, for instance, you want to go out, and real quick, if we can, you're going to go out and you're going to try to find a new sponsor. What is the first thing you target?
Well, the first thing you do with a new sponsor, the first thing that you got to look at is confidence in that product. You know, with respect, say, Evinrude outboards, I've got to be a complete fan of the Evinrude direct injection system. I have to be behind it. I have to understand its merits and believe that it's a better product, because you can't promote something effectively if you don't believe in it. You know, for instance, if a small lure company came with some wacky lure that I would never, ever use in a million years, but they offered me a lot of money, you know, I wouldn't want to promote that product, because I'm not going to be able to say honestly the merits and the benefits of that product. So that's the first thing I do, is I want to believe in the product. The second thing is I like to work for companies that are major companies that are established in this industry that have been here a long time. That stability is something that you need, because they're not looking at you coming on board and needing you to like win a classic every single year. They're an established company. They understand that you're going to go through peaks and valleys in your competitions and your television appearances. And, you know, they're going to be there through you. They're going to help you weather those storms. And when you're on top, they have these big promotional machines that can really help build your career and make it explode. So, you know, I try to look at, you know, the dependability of the company. Number one, I got to believe in the product, the dependability of the company. And then I start looking at the personnel and people, because there's certain people that, you know, really work well with you and you can work. So you want to try to have a person that you can build a positive relationship with. Because having a good relationship with your sponsor is key. Because it helps you understand their needs and they understand your needs, and you can talk more on a one-on-one friendly basis, and you can accomplish a heck of a lot more together if you have a really positive working relationship. So basically, they're the three things that I could say right now that would be my focus when I'm looking at it, trying to obtain a new sponsor.
Well, I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.